Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation. I was down at the 12th Hour. Today is October the 5th, 2025, or it is the 15th day of Tishrei 2029. We're on Chapter 46, Patriarchs and Prophets, Ellen G. White, entitled The Blessings and the Curses. This is part number 3. On this Sabbath day, which is a Feast of Tabernacles, which is on a Sunday, but it's a holy Sabbath day. We're going to this chapter is entitled The Blessings and the Curses. This chapter is based on Joshua 8. After the execution of the sentence upon Achan, Joshua was commanded to marshal all the men of war and again advance against Ai. For the power of the Yeshua, son of the Yahweh, king of Israel, is with his people, and they are soon to be in the possession of the city. For the military operation were now suspended, that all Israel might engage in a solemn religious service. For the people were eager to obtain a settlement in Canaan, and yet they had not homes or lands. For their family, and in order for the gaining of these, they must drive out the Canaanites. But this important work must be deferred, for a higher duty demanded their first attention. Before taking possession of their inheritance, they must renew their covenant of loyalty unto Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, in the last instructions of the Moses. Direction had been twice given for a convocation of the tribes upon the Mount Ebal and Gerizim and Shechem for the solemn recognition of the law of Yahweh and the obedience unto these injunctions. The whole people, not only men, but the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them, left their camp at Gilgal and marched through the country of their enemies unto the vale of Shechem, to the center of the land. They were surrounded by the unconquered foes. They were safe with the protection of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the king of Israel, as long as they were faithful unto him. Now, as in the days of the Jacob, with the terror of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, being upon the cities that were round about them, Genesis 35:5, and the Hebrews were unmolested, for the place appointed for this solemn service was one already sacred from its association with the history of their fathers. It was here that Abraham raised his first altar unto the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, in the land of the Canaan. Before taking the possession of their inheritance, they must renew their covenant of the loyalty unto the Yahweh. In the last instructions of Moses, direction had been twice given for a convocation of the tribes upon the Mount Ebal and Gerizim at Shechem for the solemn recognition of the law of Yahweh and obedience unto these injunctions, the whole people, not only men, but the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them, left their camp at the Gilgal and marched to the country of their enemies, unto the vale of Shechem, near the center of the land. Though surrounded by the unconquered foes, they were safe with the protection of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as long as they were faithful unto him. Now, as in the days of Jacob, the terror of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, king of Israel, was upon the cities that were round about them. Genesis 35:5, and the Hebrews were unmolested. For the place appointed for this solemn service was one already sacred from its association with the history of their fathers. For the place appointed for this solemn service was one already sacred from its association with the history of their fathers. It was here that Abraham raised his first altar unto Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, king of Israel, and the land of Canaan. Here is where both the Abraham and Jacob had pitched their tent. Here, the latter bought the field in which the child, just read that again. Here, the Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, brought the field in which the tribes were to bury the body of Joseph. There also was a well that Jacob had dug, and the oak under which he had buried the idolatrous images of his household. For the spot chosen was one of the most beautiful in all Palestine, and worthy to be the theater where this grand and impressive scene was to be enacted. For the lovely valley is green fields, dotted with the olive groves, watered with the brooks from the living fountain, and gemmed with the wild flowers spread out invitingly between the barren hills. For the Ebal and Gerizim upon the opposite sides of the valley nearly approach each other, with their lower spurs seeming to form a natural pulpit. Every word spoken on the one being distinctly audible on the other, while the mountain side receding efforts at the fourth space for a vast assembly. While the mountain side receding a fourth space for a vast assemblage, according unto the directions given by the Moses, a monument of the great stones was erected upon the Mount Ebal, upon these stones previously prepared by a covering of plaster, the law was inscribed, not only of the ten precepts spoken from the Sinai, and engraved on the tables of the stone, also the laws communicated unto Moses, as we read that again. Verily also is the laws communicated unto Moses, and by him written in a book. That would be Deuteronomy 19. Besides this monument was built an altar of the unhewn stone upon which sacrifices were offered unto the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For the fact that the altar was set up on the Mount Ebal, of the mountain upon which the curse was put, was significant, with the denoting that because, by the denoting that because of the transgression of the Yahweh's law, Israel had justly incurred his wrath, and that it would be at once visited, but for the atonement of the Yahshua, represented by the altar of the sacrifice, 675, all descendants from the Leah and Rachel were stationed upon the Mount Gerizim, while those that descended from the handmaids together with the Reuben and Zebulun took their position on Ebal, the priest with the ark occupying the valley between them. Silence was proclaimed by the sound of the signal trumpet. And then in the deep stillness and in the presence of this vast assembly, Joshua, standing beside the sacred ark, read the blessings that were the Father obedience unto the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh's Lord. And that's in John 10:15. So Yahshua said unto his disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, the Father's commandments are more than just the Ten Commandments. Hey, Yahweh, the Father has given commandments all through the Old Testament. They're in Deuteronomy, in the first five books of the law. However, Yahweh says, let this be and so and so, that was given a command. All the tribes on Jerusalem responded by an amen. They then read the curses. Let's read that all again. All the tribes on the Jerusalem responded by an hallelujah. Praise Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has then read the curses. And the tribes on Ebal, in the like manner, gave their action. Thousands upon thousands of the voices, uniting as the voice of the one man, in the solemn response, for the following of this came the reading of the law of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, which was his commandments of the Leviticus 23:1-44, starting with the seventh day Sabbath. And these are all the laws of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. And in other words, Yahweh the Father gave these laws before the creation of the heaven even. But he couldn't give it by his Son Yahshua, because his Son Yahshua hadn't been created yet. Until after Yahweh gave it and created his Son, then it says he created all things after that by him, by Yahshua, his Son. Together with the statutes and judgment that had been delivered unto them by the Moses. For the Israel had received the law directly from the mouth of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, at Sinai. And the sacred precepts written by his own hand, and that was written by the hand of Yahshua, because he was in the image of his Father, representing his Father in the visual image of him, and his own body, the Son. So that's why we can say all this addressing the person that's standing there visible. It's hard to address a person that they call God in the pagan term, the Father, and He being a faraway land, not visible. It's hard to keep talking about somebody standing there visible in front of you when His Son is visible in front of you in the image of His Father, speaking only those words that His Father gave Him to speak. So when Yahshua speaks, it's the same thing as His Father speaking in the person of His Son. Having said all that, I'm not going to say any more on that at this time, but Israel had received the law directly from the mouth of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, at the Mount Sinai, and His sacred precepts written by His own hand, Yahshua, His own hand, the Son of Yahweh, were still preserved in the ark. Now it had been again written where all could read it. All had the privilege of seeing for themselves the condition of the covenant with which they were to hold the possession of Canaan. For all were for the signifying of the acceptance of the terms of the covenant and give their assent unto the blessings of the curses for its observance or neglect. For the law was not only written upon the memorial stone, but it was read by the Joshua himself in the hearing of all Israel. It had not been many weeks since Moses gave the whole book of the Deuteronomy and the discourses unto the people, yet now Joshua read the law again. Not only the men of Israel, that all the women and the little ones listened unto the reading of the law, for it was important that they also should know and do their duty. For Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, the King of Israel, had commanded Israel concerning His statutes. Yeah. And where do you find His statutes recorded in writing? John 10:15. And let's continue reading. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words. Okay. In your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall teach them there your children. Let's read that again. And you shall teach them your children, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which the Yahshua sware unto your fathers to give them, as in the days of the heaven upon the earth, Deuteronomy 11:18-21. Every seventh year, the whole law was to be read in the assembly of all Israel, as Moses commanded. At the end of every 7 years, and the solemnity of the year of release, and the feast of the tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, King of Israel, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel. and the heron. Gather the people together, men and women, and children, and their strangers, those within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, your King, your Savior, your Redeemer, and King of Israel, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children that have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, your King and Redeemer, by his blood, as long as you live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Deuteronomy 31:10-13. For Satan is ever at the work, endeavoring for the perverting what the Yahweh has spoken, for the blinding of the mind and darkening the understanding, and thus lead men into sin. This is why the Yahshua is so explicit, making his requirements so very plain that none need error, for the Yahweh is constantly seeking to draw men close and under his protection. Let's go to that again. This is why Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is so explicit, making his requirements so very plain that none need error. For Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, King of Israel, is constantly seeking to draw men close under his protection, that the Satan may not practice his cruel, deceptive power upon them. For he has condescended to speak unto them with his own voice, to write with his own hand. This is the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, King of Israel, the living oracle, and these blessed words all instinct with the life and luminous with the truth are committed unto men as a perfect guide, because the Satan is so ready to take away the mind and divert the affection from the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh's promises and requirements, for the greater diligence is needed to fix him in the mind and impress him upon the heart, for the greater attention should be given by the religious teachers to the instruction of the people and the facts and lessons of the Bible history and the warnings and requirements of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, King of Israel, for these should be presented in a simple language adapted for the comprehension of the children, for it should be a part of the work both of the ministry and parents to receive that the young are instructed in the scriptures, for the parents can and should interest their children in a varied knowledge found in the sacred pages. But if they would interest their sons and daughters in the word of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, the King of Israel, they must be interested in it themselves, for they must be familiar with the teaching, and as Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, committed is to speak of it when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, Deuteronomy 11:19. Those who desire their children to love and reverence Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, King of Israel, must talk of His goodness, His majesty, and His power, as revealed in His Word, and in the words, and in the works of the creation. Every chapter and every verse of the Bible is a communication from Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, unto man. For we should find this precept as the signs upon our hand, and as a frontness between our eyes. If studied and obeyed, it would lead to Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh's people, as the Israelites is led by the pillar of the cloud by the day, and Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, was in that cloud. Paul affirmed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He said Yahshua was in that cloud over the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. He was in the pillar of that cloud, and the pillar of the fire by the night. This brings the end of our study for that chapter 46. Now we have chapter 47. We have about 33 minutes for this hour. We'll continue on. The title of this sermon is League with the Gibeonites. This chapter is based on the Joshua 9 and 10. From Shechem, the Israelites returned unto their encampment at the Gilgal, that they were soon after visited by a strange deputation who desired to enter into the treaty with them. For the ambassadors represented that they had come from a distant country, and this seemed to be confirmed by their appearance, for their clothing was old and worn, their sandals were patched, their provisions moldy, and the skins that served them for wine bottles was rent and bound up as if hastily repaired on the journey. In their far off home, professedly beyond the limits of Palestine, their fellow countrymen, they said, had heard of the wonders which Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, had wrought for His people, and had sent them for the making of a league with the Israel. For the Hebrews had been especially warned against entering into any league with the idolaters of Canaan, and a doubt as to the truth of the stranger's words arose in the minds of the leaders. Peradventure you dwell among us, they said. To this, the ambassadors only replied, we are thy servants. But when Joshua directly demanded of them, who are ye, and from whence come ye, they reiterated their former statement, and added in the proof of their sincerity, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy, and these bottles of the wine, which we fill with new, and behold, they be rent, and these are garments, and our shares are become old by reason of the very long journey. Well, these representations prevail for the Hebrews as not counsel at the mouth of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and Joseph made peace with them. No, and Joshua, the son of Joseph, made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. Thus the treaty was entered into. 3 days afterward, the truth was discovered. For they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. Knowing that it was impossible to resist the Hebrews, the Gibeonites had resorted to stratagem to preserve their lives. Great was the indignation of the Israelites as they learned of the deception that had been practiced upon them. And this was a heightened when after 3 days' journey, they reached the cities of the Gibeonites near the center of the land. All the congregation murmured against the princes, but the latter refused to break the treaty, though secured by the fraud, because they had sworn unto them by the Yahshua, king of Israel, a son of Yahweh of Israel, and the children of Israel smote them not, for the Gibeonites had pledged themselves to renounce idolatry and accept the worship of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, king of Israel, and the preservation of their lives was not a violation of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's command to destroy the idolatrous Canaanites. Hence the Hebrews had not by their oaths pledged themselves to commit sin, and though the oath had been secured by the deception, it was not to be disregarded, for the obligation under which one's word is pledged, if it do not bind him to perform a wrong act, should be held sacred. No consideration of the gain of the revenge or of self-interest can in any way affect the inviolability of an oath or pledge. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Proverbs 12:22. He that shall ascend into the hill of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and stand in his holy place, is he that sweareth unto his own hurt, and changes not. Psalms 24:3, 15:4. For the Gibeonites were permitted to live, but were attached as bondmen to the sanctuary, for the performing all menial services. Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. These conditions they gratefully accepted, conscious that they had been at fault, and glad to purchase life on any term. Behold, we are in thine hand. They said unto Joshua, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. For centuries their descendants were connected with the service of the sanctuary. For the territory of the Gibeonites comprised 4 cities. For the people were not under the rule of a king, but were governed by the elders or senators. For Gibeon, as the most important of their town, was a great city as one of the royal cities, and all the men thereof were mighty. It is a striking evidence of the terror with which the Israelites had inspired the inhabitants of Canaan, that the people of such a city should have resorted to so humiliating an expedient to save their lives. But it would have fared better with the Gibeonites had they dealt honestly with Israel, while their submission unto Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, secured the preservation of their lives. Their deception brought them only disgrace and servitude. For Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, king of Israel, had made provision that all who should renounce heathenism and connect themselves with Israel should share the blessings of the covenant, for they were included with the stranger that sojourns among you, and with a few exceptions, this class were to enjoy equal favors and privileges with Israel. The Yahshua's direction, the son of Yahweh, son of David, was, if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Leviticus 19:32-34. Concerning the Passover and the offering of the sacrifices, it was commanded, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahshua, the son of David. I'm going to change that now to Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh. Numbers 15:15. Such was the footing on which the Gibeonites might have been received, but for the deception under which they had resorted, it was no light humiliation under those citizens of a royal city. All the men whereof were mighty, to be made hewers of wood and drawers of water throughout their generation, that they had adapted the garb of poverty for the purpose of deception, and it was fastened upon them as a badge of perpetual servitude. Thus, through all their generation, their servile condition would testify unto Yahshua, the son of David, son of Yahweh, hatred of the falsehood. For the submission of the Gibeon unto the Israelites filled the king of Canaan with a dismay. Steps were at once taken for revenge upon those who had made peace with the invaders, with the leadership of Zedek, king of Jerusalem. Five of the Canaanite kings entered into a confederacy against Gibeon, for their movements were rapid, for the Gibeonites were unprepared for the defense, and they sent a message unto Joshua at Gilgal, "Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. For the danger threatened not the people of the Gibeon alone, but also Israel. for the city commanded the passage to central and southern Palestine, and it must be held if the country was to be conquered. For the Joshua prepared to go at once to the relief of the Gibeon, for the inhabitants of the besieged city had feared that he would reject their appeal because of the fraud which they had practiced. But since they had submitted to the control of Israel and had accepted their worship of the Yahweh the Father, of Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, he felt himself under the obligation to protect them. He did not this time move without the divine counsel, and the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, encouraged him in the undertaking. Fear them not, was the divine message, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So Joshua sent from the Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. By the marching all night, he brought his forces before the Gibeon. In the morning, scarcely had the Confederate princes mustered their armies about the city when the Joshua was upon them. For the attack resulted in the utter discomfiture of the assailants, for the immense host fled before the Joshua upon the mountain pass to Beth Horon, and having gained the height, they rushed down the precipitous descent upon the other side. Here a fierce hailstorm burst upon them, for the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, cast down great stones from heaven. Oh, let's read that again. For the Yahweh, the Father, cast down great hailstones from heaven. We got something going here. Let's back up and reread that again. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua, son, cast down the great hailstones from the heaven, for they were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. For they were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. While the Amorites were continuing their headlong flight, intent on the finding refuge in the mountain stronghold, Joshua, looking down from the ridge above, saw that the day would be too short for the accomplishment of his work, if not fully routed, their enemies would again rally and renew the struggle. And spake Joshua unto Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the king of David, the king of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. For the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day, and that's 24 hours. Before the evening fell, Yahweh's promise to Joshua had been fulfilled, for the entire host of the enemy had been given into his hand. Long were the events of that day to remain in the memory of Israel. There was no day like that before it or after it, that Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, the father, hearken unto the voice of a man. For the Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, fought for, and king of Israel, fought for Israel. For the sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land and the indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Habakkuk 3:11-13. For the spirit of the Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, inspired Joshua's prayer that the evidence might again be given of the power of Israel's Yahweh. Let's read that again. For the spirit of Yahweh inspired Joshua's prayer that the evidence might again be given of the power of the Israel's Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh. Hence the request. I did not show presumption on the part of the great leader, for the Joshua had received the promise that Yahweh would surely overthrow these enemies of Israel, yet he put forth as earnest effort, as though success depended upon the armies of Israel alone. He did all of that human energy could do. Let's read that again. For he did all that the human energy could do. And then he cried in the faith for the divine aid. For the secret of the success is in the union, or is with the union of the divine power with the human effort. For those who achieve the greatest result are those who rely most implicitly upon the almighty arm as belongs to the Father in heaven. For the man who commanded the Son to stand thou still upon the Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of the Ashkelon, is the man who for the hours lay prostrate upon the earth in prayer in the camp of the Gilgal. For the men of prayer are the men of power. For this mighty miracle testifies that the creation is with the control of the Creator. For the Satan seeks for the concealing from men the divine agency in the physical world, for the keeping out of the sight the unwearied working of the first great cause. In this miracle, all who exalt nature above the Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, of the nature stands rebuked. At his own will, Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, summons the forces of the nature for the overthrowing of the might of his enemies. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Psalms 148:8. When the heathen Amorites had set themselves for the resisting of his purposes, Yahweh interposed, casting down great stones from the heaven. Let's do that again. Well, I'm saying this is Yahweh the Father interposed.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go back and stay consistent. Let's read that again. For the Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, interposed, casting down great stones from the heaven upon the enemies of the Israel. We are told of a greater battle to take place in the closing scenes of earth's history when the Yahshua, the son of David, the son of Yahweh, has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation. Jeremiah 50:25, hast thou, he inquires, entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of the trouble, against the day of the battle and war? Job 38:22-23, for the revelator describes the destruction that is to take place when the great voice out of the temple of heaven announces, it is done. He said, there fell upon men a great hail out of the heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. Revelation 16:17-21. This brings us to the end of our study for this hour and this day. Closing out the Feast of Tabernacles, praise the Heavenly Father. We've had a tremendous blessing this day. And we'll praise His holy name from here on. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our children. We pray for our people all over the world, especially Africa and Donald Trump. For him to continue on being successful. He's cleaning up the land, separating the two from each other. The conservative Republicans from the liberal Democrats and the two-party system is being separated and divided once and for all. This brings the end of our study, our contact, and we'll pray in Yahshua's name now.